This is the bit before the theme music, and I don't want to hang around. I just want to get straight into the show, because it's packed, and it's Christmas. Merry Christmas! Run the theme music!
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you!
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just me and my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people, and welcome to the Total Christmas Podcast. It's the Christmas edition. I say the Christmas edition. I mean, they're all Christmas editions. It's just the one closest to Christmas. Let's do the interactive bit. Are you ready? Here we go. Merry Christmas! And scene. I really do hope you replied to that, boys and girls. You know, the least you could have said is Merry Christmas or Bah Humbug. I've got a few things I want to talk about before we get into the show. It's Christmas, boys and girls. It's Christmas. It's all happening. Like, all the lights are everywhere. Of course, the decorations, they've been up since the previous episode. We've started the Christmas traditions that we do every year, like driving around, looking at the lights. We always have a big family outing around Robin's birthday where we go and see Santa Claus. This year, we went to a place called the Spinnaker Tower, which is in Portsmouth. It's a really tall tower, over 100 metres tall, I believe. And at the bottom, you get to meet Santa and make your own toy. It's like a Build-A-Bear type thing, but they had loads to choose from. Juno made a Christmas pudding, which was very cute, and Robin made a reindeer. Yeah, and then we saw Santa Claus, he was very good. And then we went to the top of the tower, and you could look out all over the city at all the Christmas lights. It was fantastic. Yeah, and then we went out for a nice meal to give out. That was good as well. Now, one of the traditions we've got in our family is every year we have to steal a Christmas tree decoration. Yeah, I'm saying it a bit quieter because I don't want the police to be listening. So every year we'll steal a Christmas tree decoration from a Christmas tree. And this year we stole one from one of the Christmas trees at the Spinnaker Tower. It's in the shape of a wrapped sweet. Yeah, like a boiled sweet. And it's on our Christmas tree now. Yeah. And every year we add a new one to it that I've stolen from somewhere. Yeah, which is theft. And the annoying thing is, half of them I can't even remember where they came from. We know which ones are the stolen ones because they look a bit different to our regular ones. But it's like, only two of them I could tell you where they definitely came from. Yeah. Anyway, that's another tradition we've got. Tonight we're going out to a local pub where we go. And this is great. We have a Christmas dinner meal in there. And then local carol singers come round. Well, I say local carol singers. They're not local carol singers. They're just a local organisation that raised money at Christmas for the older people in the village for a Christmas dinner for them. And they go pub to pub around this village near us and sing Christmas carols. And they hand out song sheets and we all join in. And every year for the last 3 or 4 years, I've always stood up at the start of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and done the intro. You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen. And this year, I'm not going to. And the plan is, I've been training the girls to do it. So those two, little Robin and little Juno, they're going to stand up and sing it. Sorry, that's enough about me and my Christmas. I got a couple of emails. I got one from Martin Goodman, and pretty much it was just a picture of Antwerp Christmas market that he'd been to. And it looked very festive. Very festive indeed. It looked lovely. And also, I've been getting a few messages from Kevin Church. Now, Kevin Church emails me occasionally with the stuff he's been up to. And this one's a blinder. This year, but you've got to guess, actually. You've got to guess what he's making. This is a classic Christmas toy. A true classic Christmas toy. You've got to guess what he's making. And he's making it out of cardboard. Thinking? Are you thinking about it? You got an idea in your head? Right, say what you're thinking. Ready? Wait. This is what he's made.
Trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
Yeah, and he sent me the pictures. It looks brilliant. It looks just like the BB gun, but more blockish and out of cardboard. It's fantastic work. He's quite the artist when it comes to cardboard stuff. He's done some brilliant stuff in the past. Great work, Kevin. Great work. I think that's probably all the things I can think about. Sure there's other stuff, but right now, let's get started with the show with this. Okay, boys and girls, last episode you had Mary Pulte coming on to tell us about how she found out about Santa Claus. This episode we have her husband Todd, and he's going to tell us how he found out. So Todd, how old were you and what happened?
I was in first grade. How old's first grade? It might be different to here. What's that?
Oh, 6, 7 years old.
Oh, okay. Right, so youngster. And, okay.
Yeah, and it was at school, and the older kids in school just walked into the classroom just and said, "Santa Claus ain't real," and walked out.
Oh, no.
And
to the whole class?
Yeah, they didn't get in trouble either.
Did they not? No. Wow.
Yeah.
Were the kids crying? Were any of the girls in tears?
Some of us were upset, yeah. It's like, what are you talking about? You know, what are they And so we, you know, most of us went home and asked. And of course, we asked our older brothers and sisters. Well, they kind of said, yeah, that's true.
Oh, no. That was it.
Yeah.
That's like Mary's story last episode. It was an older sibling. They got the, it's these older kids. They shouldn't be allowed to say anything. I've told this before. When I was a kid, my mum was like, when me and my older brother, we went on and on. We know it's not real. And she's like, okay, he's not real. And it's, but don't you tell your younger brother. Because we were beating our dad. We just wouldn't leave her alone. I think it was the middle of summer as well. It wasn't even at Christmas. And she just like got so sick of us going on about it. She's like, okay. And then she just snapped and said, oh, he's not real. But as soon as she said it, she must have realized, hang on a minute. So she's like, don't you tell your brother. So when my brother was like 13, I'm still trying to pretend that Santa's real to him. And he's like, he clearly knew it wasn't. But I'm just trying to keep the dream alive just for my mum's sake. Because I felt so guilty all those years. I can't believe they did it like that. It's just like carpet bombed the whole classroom.
Yeah.
Ruining everyone's Christmas. At that age as well, you're like six or seven. You should still get a good few years left out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there you go. That's it. Well, thanks for coming on, Todd. That was a short and sweet one. Thanks for being on the show. Merry Christmas.
Thank you and Merry Christmas.
Now, boys and girls, my daughters have got their own podcast called It's Not Complaining with Robin and Juno. I've plugged it loads of times. Clearly none of you are listening to it because no one does. But they've got a segment on it called It Doesn't Work on a Podcast. And it's just a humorous little section where they do something and it doesn't work on a podcast. Well, this next segment could fall under that category because Shelley Arnold, who makes a fantastic Christmas village, it's huge, it is. It's huge. It's probably the size of my living room. That's how big it is. She does this Christmas village and we talk about it. Now, this is the sixth year we've chatted about the Christmas village. And in the first year, I asked her a lot of different questions about where she bought the pieces from, what companies make them, that sort of thing. This year, it's just like a guided tour of the Christmas village. So it doesn't work great because you can't see it, but it's Christmas. So just listen along and imagine it. Imagine it in your brain. There you go. You can imagine. Just imagine a huge Christmas village. It looks fantastic. It's always nice speaking to Shelley. And I do hope you enjoy listening to us talking about a fantastic Christmas village. Here it comes. Okay, so boys and girls, we're here once again. I think this is the sixth time, isn't it? Sixth time we're here looking at Shelley Arnold's wonderful Christmas village. There's a few of us here. You going to say hello?
Hello.
Say hello, guys.
Hello.
You got Frank the Tank and the beautiful Shelley Arnold. Can I first say, though, they are both very well-dressed. Very well-dressed, in fact. Yes. Frank's got his Total Christmas Podcast official merchandise T-shirt on. And Shelley's got a Merry Christmas, You Beautiful People sweatshirt on. They look stunning, don't they, girls?
Yeah.
Yeah, stunning. Yeah, we're impressed.
Stunning.
Yeah, we didn't make an effort.
You've got your Christmas gear on.
Got Snoopy on.
Yes.
Reindeer.
Reindeer, yeah.
Okay, so show us the village then. Let's have a look. Look
wow.
At it. Wow. Every year. It's just so stunning. Okay, we're going to try and describe what we can see, folks at home.
Lots.
Yeah. We can see lots.
Lots.
There's one at the front with the flashing lights. What's that one then, Shelley?
This is a train station.
Oh, is it?
Next to it is what we call a teeter-totter here.
Yep, seesaw we call it.
Yeah, we call it that too sometimes. And then these are the two from Ralphie's A Christmas Story, the Chop Suey Palace, where they go for dinner when the dogs eat their dinner.
And that's then, is that Higby's store next
Higby's, to yeah. Higby's department store where he goes to ask Santa for his gun. And then we have a new addition to the village this year. We've kind of moved things around. This in front right here used to be a park. And now see if you can tell what that is by looking at the young lad over there to the right.
Oh, Carla got it. Yeah, I got it. Did you see that, girls?
Yeah.
See there? That's Kevin screaming. Look, see? That's the house from Home Alone.
Yeah, this is the Home Alone house. It just came out this year. I actually had to pre-order it, and it came in just in time for me to build. So that's the new addition.
Oh, she's got the cinema.
The drive-in.
Yeah, the drive-in theater is right there.
It does look different. Have you completely rearranged it? Did you have to replan the whole thing then?
No, I just did this front part and took the park out. I mean, there's a couple of things I move around, but mostly the layout is the same. Over here, we have Ralphie's house. It's the brown house with them opening the leg lamp.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can see that.
And then you can see the pink nightmare in between the two houses.
He's wearing his bunny outfit. That's the pink nightmare.
Oh, yeah.
Next door is the Bumpuses, which have all the hounds that ate their dinner.
That's the dogs at the front we can see there, is it?
Yeah. That's their school, and that's where the kid gets his tongue stuck to the flagpole.
Flick's got his tongue stuck there.
This is really good.
That wasn't there last year, though, was it? I remember you had it, but was it in that position?
It was a little bit farther over, and it was a little harder to see, so I moved it. And then here's the Clark Griswold setup.
Yep, that's Cousin Eddie's RV.
And then his fantasy swimming pool behind the house there. He dreams of having the swimming pool with his Christmas bonus.
Yeah, I don't think the girls have watched that yet. Have you, girls?
No.
No. You think they're old enough?
Not quite.
It's not that rude.
Probably not quite.
And
then we have, back in the carnival, we have three new games that you might be able to see. They're just like the ring toss and the can throw and the ski ball.
When you're adding new stuff, is it making it bigger or are you actually getting rid of some stuff as well?
And more rearranging stuff.
Smaller roads.
Smaller roads. I make the roads a little bit smaller so that I can fit more on the same footprint.
Oh, okay. So it's literally just more compact then. So when do you start actually planning it out, like doing the town planning before you start putting things in? Or do you put the things in as you're planning?
Right now, because it's not a full remodel, I put things in and then go, I don't really like how that looks. And I'll, move it or change something around. And I just kind of tweak it until I find what I like.
Do you know how many pieces you've got?
I would say I have probably close to 130 buildings. And then I have all of the animated pieces, which are, I would say, a couple of dozen, probably.
Is that like a parade with the Mickey?
That's what it is. Yeah, it's a Christmas parade. Yeah.
Yeah. So the Mickey Mouse is meant to look like one of those blow-up balloons in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, but it's actually an ornament.
Mm.
And I wired a harness to the guy who's holding the ornament.
They were selling it as an ornament. It was not part of the village thing, but repurposed it.
Yep, I repurposed it.
I see. Do you see the ski slope at the back there?
Oh, yeah.
So for the benefit of the people at home that can't see a thing at all, what's the square footage of the whole thing?
I think probably about 160.
Do you hear that, people at home? 160 square foot. That's what we're looking at here. And how many? 130 buildings, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. It's a proper town.
It is.
Busy town.
Yeah, busy town. Remind us about the mountains at the back then. So at the very back of the village, there's a mountain range. And did you make those yourself or did you buy those?
Well, I bought them, but then I painted them, added the snow and made them what I wanted to be. There are three of the mountains that are up there that I actually carved out of foam, but the rest I bought.
So when you bought them, what were they like? What? Part of a village?
Yeah, they were just Lemax mountains and they were kind of an ugly brown. They just had some like white streaks on them and little bottle brush trees sticking out of them. So I just painted them with the same paint that I used to make the walls. And then when they were wet, I just sprinkled the snow on them. So
the corner of the mountains flying around in a circle.
Oh, Santa?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see Santa up there over the ski hill.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you can see it. I don't know if you can see somebody who's kind of sneaky hiding in there.
That's the Grinch.
That's the Grinch.
He's got his own village as well, though, has he, this year?
Yeah, he does have a village. And there's the snowball fight up in the mountain.
Can you see them throwing snowballs at each other?
And we still have the campground. Everything else is pretty much the same.
So you see that wall under that train track, Jack?
The lower wall, the first one.
That product is something called Shaper Sheet. And it's a roll of a very, very heavy foil that is covered with a felt, like a white felt on one side.
So
I just paint it and then I crinkle it up to look like rock and add the snow. So that I made.
Okay.
Roll of foil. It's amazing.
Are they fireworks at the back there?
Yep. Yeah, we have 7 fireworks.
So how do they work then? Is it like just a black piece?
Yeah, it's just a black rectangle. And it has a little battery pack on the bottom, which I don't use. I use the adapter. And you can like pull it out to adjust the height of it, or you can just leave it, you know, at that level. And I just put them back there against the black background and they kind of disappear except for the actual light.
Who makes those? Is that Limax or
Yes, pretty much all of the animated pieces are Limax, with the exception of the Flying Santa, the swans, the drive-in.
Where are the swans?
Did you not see the swans? They're on the little pond at the back.
Yeah, those are Department 56. And then pretty much the rest of the animated pieces are Limax.
Oh. Right, so where's the important piece then? Well, the important pieces.
The Flatiron Building is a...
No, not the Flatiron Building. You know what I'm talking about, Shelley.
The expensive one?
No, they're not expensive, sadly, no.
Which one are you talking about?
Well, which one did you think, Shelley? Come on, what's the most important one to me?
I don't have any of the...
Are you telling me you put it in the bin already?
Oh, no, the ones that you bought, I thought you were looking for like a Scrooge building or something. No, the most important ones. This piece here.
Oh, there he is. That's the guy. What's he selling? I've forgotten what he's selling. Oh, there's a shoeshine guy there.
Yeah, this one, the first guy that came with the shoeshine guy, he has now showing for the movie theater. And then the little girls that are playing with their jump rope.
That was the year before, that one. Oh, there you go, girls. That was the one we sent the year before.
Yeah.
This is New York we're looking at now then, is it?
Yeah.
Correct.
So all the trees, you buy those individually as well?
Yeah, I pack them up. There's, I think, 4 bins full of trees. These really large ones here, I have 22 of those.
Wow.
And has it got lights on it, can I see?
Yep.
So those lights, they're already attached. You don't have to add those yourself.
No, I had to add those myself.
Oh, did you? So what do you buy, like those tiny little strings of fairy lights, those ones?
The little fairy lights are added.
I just saw like a light up sign with an owl on it. What was that?
Oh, right here. So this is the Red Owls. When I was a little girl, our grocery store was actually called the Red Owl. It was a chain store in America. And all growing up, that was the name of our grocery store in our little town.
Oh, so
so that's why we have a billboard of the Red Owl.
That's good.
So when you bought that, did it already have the Red Owl picture in it? Or did you get to choose what it came with? Or what was the deal?
The billboard comes with multiple choices.
And you can change, they're interchangeable, are they? You can change them yourself?
Yeah, I can change it myself. On the other side is like a 1940s Maytag ad. But that's one of the things on my wish list is the Department 56 Red Owl building that is scaled to the village.
Yeah, because ours is too big.
Yeah, we do have it over here in the shelf.
So here's the Red Owl.
We actually do have the Red Owl
sitting on the shelf. Oh, all on his own. But he's got some customers. There's some customers have made it there. And there's some trees around it.
It's too big for the village.
Is the train running at the moment?
No, he can make it run.
Yeah, let's have a look. Oh, there it goes.
It's going round.
How many trains is it you've got?
2.
2. So the one at the top, that goes through the tunnel behind the mountains, does it?
Yep, underneath the mountains is a tunnel, and then it's going to come out over here.
Yeah, I see it. It's come back out.
And then the big train is down here, and it's the Polar Express train.
Oh, we watched that tonight.
Yeah, we sat and watched that tonight.
Our first day of our open house is on Saturday this week.
What, so Saturday in a week's time?
Yeah, Saturday the 13th. So we have one Saturday the 13th, and then Sunday the 14th, and then again on Saturday the 20th.
Right, the Polar Express is just pulling out of the station. Is there any figures with the Polar Express? Is it actually the proper licensed Polar Express? Is that the deal?
Yes. And you can kind of see in the lights all of the children on the in the cars.
Oh, there they are.
And on the back is a little kid who...
Lonely boy.
Billy, the lonely boy.
Yeah.
So how long did it take to make it this year then, Shelley?
Just over 3 weeks.
Is it normally 3 weeks? I thought it was like a lot longer than that.
Last year I got it done in 3 weeks. This year it took me a little longer.
So when did you finish it then?
right after Halloween.
How many people did you get last year in the end?
Oh, I think we had like 80.
Oh, 80?
Oh, that was because the year before, wasn't it 99?
Yep. Yes, and we haven't met Frank's 100-person goal. We're hoping this year we make it.
Well, fingers crossed, yeah. So, kids, if you're in Michigan, get yourselves over to Shelley's house. It's quite easy to find. It's the one with the massive Christmas village. What have you got outside this year then, Shelley?
Frank just worked on that this weekend while I was gone. Right now, because of all the snow, the only inflatable he has out there is the Grinch.
Yeah, we can see it out the window.
And then he's got some of his pixels. I don't think you can see them.
Yeah,
but
we can see the tree shape. Yeah, I can see that.
And some snowflakes and some packages. And over here, you can't really see them. He has some candy canes and they all light up to music.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, and there's a sign out in the front yard that tells our guests to tune their radio to a certain station to be able to listen to the lights.
Oh, cool. So Robin's got a question for you, Shelley.
What is the drive-in playing on the screen?
That first one said, good night. And then this says, visit our refreshment center during intermission. So there's not an actual movie.
Oh, what? We thought we were going to get to watch a free film.
But I have considered changing it to some sort of a little tablet that actually plays a movie. So I'm going to show you the updated Grinch Village. So this is the updated...
Oh, look at that. It's on two levels now, kids. The Grinch Village... Hang on a minute. So this is new. We'll try and describe it to you, kids. It's kind of like a mountain, but also... shelves with the Whoville houses on it, and at the top you've got the Grinch. What have you done there? How have you done that?
That is actually paper.
Literally just paper scrunched up?
Yes, to look like stone. Frank helped me build the frame.
Yeah.
And attach it. So all of the houses are sitting on foam that are covered with paper.
You should see it, boys and girls. You can't, and we're sorry about that. It's all flashing. All the Christmas trees have got lights on and they're all flashing. How many houses have we got there?
I think we have 13 houses, and then Mount Crumpet's at the top.
And there's cars as well, and loads of trees with lights on. Is that the Grinch we can see at the very top there?
There's
can you zoom
a lot
in?
Of,
oh, there's yeah, a lot of Grinches, is there?
So there's...
Oh, there he is.
Grinch on Mount Crumpet. We have the Grinch here trying on a Santa suit.
Yep.
And then we have the Grinch here with the loaded sleigh before he takes everything back. And ultimately, his heart grows.
Is that what we can see in that one? There's actually got a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, you can see it. He's got a bigger heart. There it is. It's huge.
Yeah. Wow. Yes.
There, just there. That's his heart there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The pancake house was a gift from our daughter and our son-in-law last year, which is what led to increasing the size.
So, again, this year, have you got like a search and find sheet for the people that come to visit?
Yeah, I think I want to do it a little bit differently this year. I haven't fully figured out exactly what I want to do, but pretty much the same thing. I just need to sit down and write my questions. I want different questions. So this is, I don't know if you remember.
Yes, I do. Is it called Snow Babies? Little Snow Babies. Is that what it's called?
Precious Moments.
Oh, okay. But they all look like little snow babies.
So this belonged to my mom.
This one, boys and girls at home, this is like two sides of the fireplace. They've got separate little villages with loads of little, they look like snow babies. Don't they?
Yep, they're little precious moments. It's called Sugartown.
Sugartown, that's it. I remember Sugartown, yeah.
And then I have another village in here. The little triangle house that you see on the left there.
Uh-huh.
I bought that because I grew up in a house exactly that shape here. Yeah. So it's all decorated and ready for our visitors. Yeah.
So do you actually advertise then? Or is it just word of mouth then?
I advertise on Facebook. And then our daughter, she shares it on her Facebook. It goes far after that because she has tons of people follow her and her business. Then after that, it's just word of mouth. And we invite some of our customers through our electrical business.
Yep.
And we have a gentleman on Drummond Island who he writes for the local newspaper over there, and he comes every year and he does a write-up in the paper.
Okay, well, thanks again for giving us a guided tour of your fantastic village. I swear it does look different this year. It does seem like there's more in there. So I guess that makes sense. If you've got some more pieces and you've squeezed them in.
Yeah.
Excellent work as ever.
Well done.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I got to say, the girls have been talking about it all year. It's like, will we talk to Shelley again this year? And it's always a real highlight. It's become a real tradition for us to chat to you about the village. So thank you so much for coming on.
Well, goodbye. Merry Christmas.
Where are you, Christmas? How about Rovuniemi, Finland? We've talked about and highlighted places to find Christmas in multiple destinations around the world. However, we have saved one of the best for our Christmas show. No place seems as real and as magical as Rovuniemi, which claims to be the official home of Santa Claus. It's no wonder that this is a year-round festive getaway. The Christmassy city has a dreamy location on the Arctic Circle. The line is proudly marked so visitors know when they're crossing into the Arctic. And you will not be disappointed. It is like walking into a snow globe. You can visit a number of themed attractions, from Santa's Holiday Village to the Mrs. Santa Claus Christmas Cottage, to the reindeer resort. You can also visit Santa's Park, which is an indoor theme park with shows, an elf school, and a festive train. You can go on a reindeer safari, take a reindeer-led sleigh or a husky dog sled ride, and even decorate trees in the enchanted Finnish forest. Depending on the time of year, you may also want to chase the northern lights on a snowmobile and sleep in an Arctic treehouse or an igloo made of ice for the most amazing views all night long. Now, if you know of another outstanding holiday location above the Arctic Circle, you deliver it to Jack, he'll gift it to me, and we'll tell you where to find Christmas throughout the year.
Do you know what? I've talked about Christmas in Lapland before, but I don't know if I've covered it like in depth. They have Lapland in England, not the proper Lapland, but it's like a Christmas place you can go to where it's quite elaborate and they do like a real good Christmas thing. You have to book it up like months and months in advance. I remember, we've never been, I remember a couple of years ago, they released the tickets and we just didn't manage to get any that day. Carla was trying, my wife, she was trying that day and she didn't get any tickets. That's the one in the UK, but then obviously you've got the Lapland in Lapland and that's the one where you've got to have the big bucks for that because you go for like 2 or 3 days and it's thousands of pounds and it's not something we've ever done. I've got friends that have done it, obviously the ones that are doing okay for themselves. It's a lot of money though, but yeah, it's the real business if you want to have a proper Christmas, a winter Christmas, because we don't get snow much in the UK. So yeah, great one though, Bob. He'll be back in a bit. Now we're doing this. I haven't done a joke for a little while, have I? Well, I'm doing one now. Now, I don't know if you remember, but I think it was in the last episode, I was talking about how I've been listening to all my old episodes and I'm up to about episode 36 now, something like that. And it's really interesting because the first series, pretty much, I think I sound pretty bad. Yeah, pretty bad. There's a lot of repetition where I just can't seem to finish a sentence or finish a subject or whatever. Also, I've been listening to the jokes and the bit, you know, the little bit at the end. I always do like a little movie clip at the end of the episode. And I noticed in one episode I told this joke and it was only like 3 episodes later I told the same blooming joke, like 3 episodes. It might have been 4 episodes later, but it wasn't much more than that. I couldn't believe it. And I was fairly proud of myself, thinking I've never repeated a joke. I clearly have, at least once. I've only noticed it once. Wouldn't be surprised if it was a lot of times. And also, the blooming movie clips as well. I didn't realise I'd repeated them. There's one I do repeat. My Christmas episode, I always have the same bit at the end. But other than that, all they're always meant to be different. Now I've repeated a few, and I'm not proud of it, kids. In fact, I'm mildly ashamed. Anyway, this joke is so bad, I can't imagine I've ever told this one before. Here it comes. What do you get if you leave the fire lit on Christmas Eve when Santa comes down your chimney? Crisp Kringle. There you go. It was rubbish, but at least it wasn't one I've done before, so there's that, I suppose. Yeah. Nice.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Boys and girls, this episode's version of A Christmas Carol is nothing short of crap. Real crap. Or crud. Or rubbish. Or garbage. Or shit. There you go, I said it. It's real shit. It's actually from this year. It's only just come out. And I don't even know what it's made for. Is it like made for YouTube? I watched it on Amazon. Was it made for Amazon? Amazon like snapped it up, did they? I don't know what's going on. It's only just come out, so maybe it was made for Amazon. It's directed by a chap called Jason Campbell. He's made loads of films, all pretty low rent affairs. And it also, do you know, it also says written by Jason Campbell and Charles Dickens. Well, I'm sure that was a writing partnership that Charles Dickens is very proud to be a part of. Well done, Charlie. Yeah, you've reached new heights there, mate. So sometimes when you're flicking through and you're on Amazon and you see something, oh, I'll give that a shot. And as soon as it comes up on the screen, you think, oh, this doesn't look quite right. It obviously wasn't shot on film, it was shot on digital, but it still looks a bit weird. That's what you get with the impression with this. You know, it's not like it's made for TV. It made, I don't know, I guess it was filmed on digital, but I don't know how it works. But it just looks cheap, really cheap. And it, I hope it was cheap, because it's really bad. Horrendously bad. It's set in modern day. Oh, do you know what? The problem is, because it's not a direct version of A Christmas Carol, I can't just tell you the bits that it's changed. I've got to tell you the whole blooming story. And it's not going to be fun for me. And luckily, the only consolation I get is, it's not going to be fun for you to listen to it. So, you know, at least we both lose out. It's a lose-lose situation for both of us. But here's the thing. It stars Dean Cain. Yeah, you know Dean Cain, don't you? Actually, our younger listeners probably don't. Dean Cain played Superman in The Adventures of Lois and Clark, where Terry Hatcher played Lois and Dean Cain was Superman. And since then, his career pretty much just went straight down. And for the last maybe 20 years, he's done pretty much just Christmas films. And this is one of them, and it's very bad. You know, sometimes when someone gets a role and they have to bulk up for the role, yeah? Like, I'm sure when he played Superman, he had to bulk up for the role, you know. Christopher Reeve, definitely. If you've ever seen Christopher Reeve before he became Superman, you know, like, he really had to put on loads of muscle. Well, Dean Cain bulked up for this role, but not in a good way. Yeah, he's not as slim as he used to be. Even in his muscular Superman days, he's a bit larger than that. I'm not going to give him a hard time for putting on weight. You know, it happens to the best of us, especially at Christmas. This is a Christmas film. Fair play, Dean Cain. But he ain't Superman no more. Let's just put it that way. I'm going to run through the whole thing. If you want to mentally switch off through this segment, you know, you're welcome to. But you might find it humorous to hear just how crap this is. So it's an hour long and it opens with Dean Cain. He plays the Jacob Marley character and he's in what looks like a sort of hippie's front room, really. There's loads of ornaments everywhere and stuff like that. He's no idea where he is or what's going on. And some woman comes in. I'm not even going to bother listing the actors because most of them have done very little or nothing. Dean Cain's the only one I recognised. Well, I say that, Dean Cain and maybe the Scrooge character, I feel like I might have recognised him, but I don't know what from. Dean Cain, this isn't even on his IMDb page. It's not on there. Because I tried searching for this by searching Dean Cain and his latest films. It didn't come up. I guess he's that ashamed of it. He didn't want it on his list. And there's another thing. A lot of it feels like it's improvised. Like they haven't actually got a set script. I could be wrong, but I think I'm right. So anyway, this woman comes in and, like I say, straight away, the acting, the filming and the script is crap. And he's like, is this a dream? And she says this.
Is this real or is this a dream? Am I having a dream?
Well, it could be a dream. Some do say that dreams are a glimpse into the afterlife.
Who says that? Who says dreams are a glimpse into the afterlife? Like me, imagining I'm still back at school without any trousers or underwear on, running around, not trying to pull my t-shirt down to hide my dinkle. That kind of dream, that's a glimpse into the afterlife, is it? I don't think it is, madam. So maybe there was a script by an imbecile who thought that was something worth writing. Goodness. Right. So Dean Cain realises he's died and she tells him he's in a place of second chances. And she's like, do you know someone who needs a second chance? And he's like, well, my old boss, Jason Mudrick. I can't remember if it's boss or business partner. Don't really care. And she says, well, if you go back and sort him out, maybe you can join our team. And their team's called the Soul Stirrers. I don't know why. To be honest, it sounds more like a 60s girl group, but it's not. Some little girl comes in with a note for the other woman. And the woman's like, oh my goodness. Apparently two elves called Tippy and Toes have been left in the house. What a coincidence. The house they've been left in is Dean Cain's old boss's house that he's got to go back to. Then we cut to 10 people all sat around a table. They're all dressed in black. They're all the soul stirrers that the woman was telling Dean Cain about. What has happened now is Dean Cain has been to see his old boss, Jason Mudrick, and he's come back to tell everyone the story of what happened. Do you understand that? So then it's him telling what happened on his first job as a soul stirrer. So this is, I guess, 24 hours after. Do you know what? He's just died, though. It's really weird because he dies on Christmas Day. And then this is Boxing Day, I guess, late Boxing Day. I don't know when. Anyway, so then we cut to Jason Mudrick, who's the Scrooge character. Not even going to bother telling you who he's played by. Can't be bothered. And his daughter's there. She looks about 14. She's almost as tall as her mum. Might even be taller, I'm not sure. Do you know, I didn't get out measuring tape and stand next to him because I couldn't, because they're on TV. And for Christmas, she's got a rather freaky looking newborn doll. Have you seen these newborns? They've got all scrunched up little face and their eyes are normally closed. She's got one of them for Christmas and she's like 14. She's probably more interested in getting like makeup, vapes and vodka at the age of 14. But no, she's got a little doll that she carries with her pretty much the whole film. We find out he's married with two kids and his son is at college and he's coming back for Christmas. But it turns out his son's flight is cancelled, so he's not going to make dinner because they're going round grandma's house to have dinner. So Jason Scrooge and his wife and daughter, they go round to grandma's. And then we see the two little elves that have been stuck in the house. Can I just point out, this is awful, right? Not just the elves, the whole thing is awful, right? The whole thing is awful. Adding the two elves doesn't make it more awful and doesn't make it less awful. It's just so awful. That's it. That's a thing. Yeah, so these two little elves, they just go around the house and we get a montage of them trashing the house, throwing food everywhere, breaking stuff, having a pillow fight, that sort of rubbish. Then we cut to Jason's mum and she's got a butler. Our house is big, but it's not massive. It's not the sort of house you'd necessarily think would have a butler. And they just stood there looking at the door, the two of them. And then the doorbell rings. I don't know if they heard the car come up the drive or they've been stood there since they woke up this morning and got dressed. It's like, right, we're going to stand in front of the door for the next 3 hours until my son turns up. They go through to dinner and I'm guessing the butler bit, it turns out later we find out that she only pays for the butler to be there when her son's there. She's just trying to suggest that she's got a butler. A bit weird. But the butler sits down at the table with them and takes the grandma's seat. And she's like, get out. It's sort of like comic relief, but it ain't that funny. And at this point, to be honest, it seems more like the grandma, Scrooge's mum, is more like Scrooge than Jason, who's meant to be the Scrooge character. But there you go. Now, at this point, the grandma says to the daughter, I think her name's Maddie, the grandma's like, oh, you've got that doll there, looks really nice, not nice, freaky. What are you going to call it? And she says, I want to call it Grace. And the dad's like, you're not calling it Grace. And she's like, yeah, I want to call it Grace. And we find out that they had another daughter. She was like an older child and she died when she was like in her late teens, I think. Yeah, so that's sad. Then we find out that Carson, the son, although his flight was cancelled, he gets another flight. So he's back home now at their house. So Scrooge is like, oh, we can't stay any longer. We're going to have to go back to see Carson. Before they leave, though, there's a couple of other bits. Jason gets a call, and that's when he finds out that Dean Cain has died. And he's like, what, the guy who played Superman in The Adventures of Lois and Clark? Oh, no! That's not what he says, obviously, because he's talking about his character, whose name's Michael someone. But also, there's a bit where the grandma is telling a story to Jason's wife. And to be honest, I've written down she tells a story. I can't even remember what the story was. It's pretty crap, I'm sure. It might just be about Christmas and why Jason hates Christmas. I'm not sure. But in the background, the butler is like in the next room, just sat on the sofa on his phone the whole time. And then as the story progresses, then he's just fallen asleep. And he's just asleep on the sofa behind. It's just, well, it's something, I suppose. Now we cut back to Carson and he's come back from college with his girlfriend. And they're back at the house. And they find Tippy and Toes and they've trashed the house, the two elves. And they're like, oh my goodness, we're going to have to get all this tidy. Are you going to help us? And the elves just click their fingers and the house is spit spot tidy and clean again. So that's good news. And they're like, right, well, we're going to have to hide you. So they hide the two elves up in Grace's room. Yeah, his older sister who passed away. Then Scrooge or Jason or Carson's dad and his mum and their daughter come back. And I don't think he's particularly nasty to his son, Carson. He's just very blunt with him about everything. A bit disapproving of his son, but not massively, you know, having a go at him. And then they sit down to Christmas dinner Generally, while they're at the table, Jason is just demeaning to his son, talking down to him like, you know, he's not doing the career that Jason would have liked him to have had. And Carson gets all upset. He's like, oh, forget it, and takes his food and goes off in the other room. And I did like this bit because he's like, I'm going. He's like, sit back down. He's like, no, I'm going. Sit back down. And he's like, I'm going to my room. And Scrooge goes, well, go to your room. And I found that mildly funny, but... So then we cut to bedtime, and Jason and his wife, they're in bed, and they're arguing about Carson. And she said, look, you need to go and apologise to him. He's like, oh, I'll apologise in the morning. And she's like, no, you need to apologise now. Just think, your friend Michael died today. You could die in the night. It's pretty much, she's implying you could die before the morning time, so go and apologise now. Brilliant. But they're acting like it's like a huge bust-up. But people argue like this all the time, I would have thought. It's just what happens in families, isn't it? Or is it just my family? Oh, no. Am I Scrooge? Then we cut to Dean Cain again, because interspersed with what I've been telling you, Dean Cain is sort of telling them what's going on. It keeps cutting back to him in the room with the soul stirrers. And then we get this line.
Finally, the haunting starts.
And let me say, this is at 37 minutes in, and it's only an hour long. Do you get that? So there's only 23 minutes left, and this happens. Finally, the haunting starts. And I'm thinking the same thing. Finally, the haunting starts. You know the setup with Scrooge? That's not the first chapter of the book. That's just it. And that's enough. And then also, you know, I suppose you get the flashback scenes from the Ghost of Christmas Past. They didn't do that. They decided, oh, do you know what? It's such trolley. Sorry. Let's move on. Dean Cain is outside standing by a fire, and Tippy and Toes bring Jason out, and all four of them are stood around the fire. And I did like this bit because Jason is like, shouldn't this happen on Christmas Eve? And Dean Cain's like, well, it's not an exact science or something like that. He doesn't use those words, but, you know, it's not a big deal that it's actually happening on Christmas Day night. And he's like, well, I'm going to give you the whole Scrooge treatment or something like that. I don't know. I've watched it twice, but it's so forgettable. And we cut back to when he was younger. Carson's a young kid and Grace, his daughter who passed away, she's there. And I don't know what the relevance of this scene was, really. Carson's there painting this treehouse, and Jason's there, like, encouraging him. And then Grace comes out, and she's got, like, a big wreath that she's made. That she looks like she's made out of those shower flowers. Do you know the things? Like, oh, I'm not going to go into it. Anyway, she's made this wreath, and they're going to hang on. That's it. You know, there's no relevance to the clip. It's just, yeah, do you remember you had a daughter? Then we cut to, I think this is even earlier, because... I'm guessing it's before we had the kids, because his wife's there, she's playing a guitar, and it's the first time that Jason had ever seen his wife. And I guess this is 20 years previous, because Grace, the daughter who passed away, she would have been late teens at least, and obviously they had to have time to have a relationship, get married, get pregnant, have the kid. And the mum doesn't look any different, so she's barely aged. So if we can find out what moisturiser she's using, that'd be the Christmas gift to give this year, kids, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah, he sees her playing his guitar and he's like, you know, do you think she'll marry me? Because Dean Cain's there with him and he's like, well, she's single, you never know. That's it, very short scene. We don't even see him talk to each other. And then Dean Cain takes him to the final Ghost of Christmas Past scene and we just see his daughter that passed away dying. Again, I don't know what relevance this is meant to be. It's like, see? Yeah, I see, I remember all this crap. Why are you showing me this? Well, I don't know, actually. I'm not quite sure, but have a look at it anyway. I don't get it. Then... we get the Ghost of Christmas present. It's still Dean Cain. Dean Cain's all the ghosts, apart from the Ghost of Christmas yet to come. So he's like Marley, past and present. Anyway, we get two scenes in the Ghost of Christmas present. First one is Carson. He's packing to leave. And Jason comes. He's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm leaving, Dad. I've had enough of you. And he's like, oh, no, don't, whatever. You'll break your mum's heart. And he's like, she's coming too. And the mum comes downstairs and she's leaving too. She's packed a bag. She's still wearing her pyjamas from the night before, though. She hasn't bothered getting dressed. That's how desperate she is to get away. Still wearing her PJs. Well, I say PJs. It's like a Christmas jumper, but she was wearing it when she went to bed. I don't know. I do not know. Yeah, so they leave. And he's like, oh. And then the other scene we get is his mum, grandma, you know, and she's just sat there crying, looking at pictures. We don't see any of the pictures. We don't know what pictures is making her cry. Maybe it's like a picture of a sad puppy. Unlikely. I'm guessing it's meant to be like family pictures, but we don't see. So, you know, we've got to make up our own minds, have we? So that's the Ghost of Christmas present. Then we get yet to come. So this is Tippy and Toes. They take him off, but I don't remember seeing Tippy and Toes watching the scenes. In fact, pretty much all of them, you don't really see him watching the scenes. We just see the... Oh, bollocks.
Right, I'm trying to rattle through this as quick as I can so it's over and done with. It's so bad. In the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, we see Carson and he's got a beard, so we know it's a long time in the future. Turns out they've got a son and he's married to his girlfriend that he had earlier, you know, that was at Christmas dinner. And they don't have a Christmas tree. And she says, oh, your dad's been calling. He hasn't seen your son yet. And Carson's like, well, I don't want him to see my son. And it looks like he's turned out to be like his dad, which is a real shame because you think he'd go the other way, loving Christmas still. But they don't have a Christmas tree. They don't have much going on, to be honest. And we also find out that his mum has passed away, Jason's wife, of BHS, which is broken heart syndrome. Yeah, that's a medical complaint. So all that moisturising she was doing, making her not age for 20 years, wasn't enough to keep her alive after she broke her heart, which is ridiculous because she left him. She wanted a better life. She was going elsewhere. It's ridiculous. Actually, to be honest, though, the whole thing is ridiculous. It's so bad, kids. I watch this so you don't have to. Right, what else we got? Then we see Jason in the future and he's in a hospital and all the nurses are there and he's sat in his office being miserable and one of the nurses comes in and she's like, oh, thanks for letting us have a Christmas party. Are you going to come and join us? He's like, no, I don't want to. And she leaves and he just sits there crying at his desk. So that's his future. I mean, to be honest, he could have had a slightly better future. Like, for example, go to the Christmas party, get hammered, and get off with one of them nurses. But no, he'd rather sit at his desk and cry. I mean, faced with the options, I'd know which one I'd choose. But he chose what he chose. Then we cut back to the fire, you know, where they stood outside around the fire. Dean Cain's gone, Tippy and Toes are buggered off. And he runs back inside, wakes up his son and apologises to him. And the mum overhears this and they all hug together and they have a great big group hug. And that's wonderful. And so the next day, they redo Christmas and they go and collect Grandma. And he's like, oh, where's your butler gone? And she's like, oh, it's his day off today. And he's like, get in a car, come on, we're going to have Christmas. So they go back to theirs and have Christmas and they're opening presents and they've all sat around opening loads of presents, loads of presents. His question, when do they buy them? Like, they've already had their Christmas presents the day before. I'm guessing they've already opened them all. You're not just going to leave them there, are you? I mean, we know that the younger daughter, she'd already opened hers because she had the ugly baby thing, didn't she? But the funny thing is, well, they're all opening all these presents and they're going, oh, wow. But not one of the presents do you actually see what it is. They like open a box and they look into it and all happy. But you don't see it. You don't, no idea what they've got. So you just got to let your imagination imagine it's the greatest gift of all time. And then finally, there's a gift for Dad from Carson. And it's like in this brown paper bag. And he opens it up and you're thinking, oh, what is this? What is it? What's it going to be? What's it going to be? And it's two bracelets made of wooden beads. And he's like, oh, wow. And it's like, you think it's going to be something relevant to the story. It's not. But then Carson says, oh, and now you're just like me. I don't remember you mentioning that you wore wooden bracelets. And I didn't bother going back to look if he's wearing wooden bead bracelets. But now Dad's got wooden bead bracelets. Man in his late 50s with his wooden bead bracelets. I'll tell you what, he seems made up about it. And then they have another big hug. And he says this.
Carson, thank you. Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you for not giving up on me.
I never would.
Yeah, thank you for not giving up on me. And did you hear that? And the son says, I never would, Dad. Well, funny you should say that, because if he hadn't come running in to apologise for his behaviour the previous evening, well, you would have bloomin' left him and given up on him. So don't go saying you never would, because you nearly did. They have dinner and he says a prayer while Tippy and Toes are still watching. They're still watching. They're still there. Tippy and Toes are still there. And that's the end of it, is them at the dinner table. And then we're back to the Soul Stirrers and they're like, oh, what happened to Tippy and Toes? And let me play this for you. This is a scene where there's just two elves there and this is it.
Santa, we left some elves in West Virginia.
That's it. That's what we get about Tippy and Toes. They tell someone that they're there and we just assume they've been collected. And then the very end, the very, very end, some woman turns up back in the first room. Do you remember when Dean Cain started the film? And some woman turns up and Dean Cain is there. And so he's one of the Soul Stirrers now. And they have a conversation about her being dead. And that's it. And that's the end of the film. Thank goodness. Now, I've skipped over some minor bits, but not a lot, really. I kept in most of what was there. And let me tell you, boys and girls, it's just so very bad. So very bad. And I'm watching it thinking, Dean Cain, what are you doing there? I mean, I've seen some of his Christmas films and they're like Hallmark level. This is lower than Hallmark by a long way. A long, long way. Do you know what? I don't even want to say any more about it. I've told you what happens. If you want to go and watch it, it's on Amazon. It's called A Christmas Carol. If you want to try and find it, I could put a link in the show notes to it for like the IMDb page or something, but this is one of those that I can't imagine many people are going to watch, and although I did twice, but I can't imagine many people are going to watch, and that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. It was so badly written. I had no idea what they were going for, what they were trying to say. Like, the guy who's Scrooge isn't that bad. He's just some regular bloke. He's not like a real tight skinflint. He's not hurting his employees or anything. It's just, oh goodness, I'm glad it's over, kids. I'm glad it's over, and I don't ever wish to speak of it again. Now let's do this.
Do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
At this festive time of year, please remember that rubbing alcohol will treat your outside wounds. Drinking alcohol, well, that treats the inside ones. So I've been getting my fill of Christmas Carol cinema. I mean all of it. Mr. Magoo, Fonzie, Captain Picard. I have watched Classic Sim, Sympathetic Kane, Hard-Nosed Scott, Grimy Finn, even Awkward Grammar. And one impression has been left with me, other than the absence of Walk Her. It is the presence of governors running all around.
Merry Christmas, Governor! Merry Christmas!
Ready for the song, Governor?
Officially ready for caroling, Governor!
Thanks, Governor!
And he sends his best to you too, Governor!
I mean, here in the U.S., Governor is applied to the head public official of a state, or perhaps to those serving on a university board, but that's about it. It is the only context you'll hear it in, but not in these movies. Back in the day, it seemed like everybody in England was using this phrase. We know that governor is the British slang contraction of the word governor, which means ruler or manager. It originally was used to describe those who governed, officials, masters, or heads of households. The word derives from the Latin word gubernator, meaning guide, which itself ultimately came from the Greek word kyberman, which meant to steer a ship. While sharing the same root, we in the States kept the more formal definition. We don't use it socially. But this word evolved in the 1840s in London as a general term for someone in charge, like a boss, a landlord, or a client, and almost always used by one man to address another man. Governor became an informal way to acknowledge authority, and it is still used today, especially with the police and fire services, as a neutral way to recognize a superior or to refer to a colleague with a higher rank. Governor became popular as an everyday greeting because it efficiently signaled respect and familiarity without naming someone's specific office or ranking. On British police TV shows, you will hear the characters refer to their superiors as Gov, and this goes back to the 1970s and 80s. It is also common amongst tradesmen to address the person who contracts them to do the job as governor. In addition, this phrase is often associated with London's East End, where in the pubs or with the cab drivers and shop staff, the employees will often call their customers governor in a friendly or a jocular way to show polite respect. So, the word is still around today, but its everyday use is declining with time. In some communities, it is used a lot, but in others, not so much. It can be considered old-fashioned or insincere, even condescending, so it is usually heard only from older speakers. It also functions as a way to signal a cockney or a working-class character, say in a show or in a play, and it is used deliberately in an ironic fashion to call out when someone is acting bossy, especially in popular culture. So when it is used, the shorter gov is more common, in the same way that people might use the term boss. It's almost considered a form of thanks. Say when you step off the bus, you might say to the driver, "Thanks, gov," almost as a reflex. And speaking of thanks, it has been another incredible year
listening to Total Christmas. I appreciate so much how Jack has let me become part of the show. I love it, and Jack is so incredibly entertaining. He really gives us something to look forward to throughout the year. I hope you don't mind, but I do have more words and Christmas places to highlight, so I will be back in 2026 and looking forward to it. Merry Christmas to everyone, and always remember to keep that Christmas spirit alive inside you. It is the one gift that we can all give to the world. Cheers and happy Christmas.
Yeah, you know, I used to use the word gov or governor a little bit, not for a long time though. I was just thinking, as I was listening to it then, I was thinking, yeah, I don't really say that much anymore. I used to, but yeah, I don't. Don't hear it as much as you used to. Do it a bit, but not a lot. Good work, of course, Bob. And thanks so much at the end there, Bob, for the kind words. Really appreciated that. I also really appreciate Bob's input. He does a fantastic job with no reward whatsoever. And every episode, he's there like clockwork, sending in his two segments. Thanks so much for that, Bob. I am going to be turning up on Bob's podcast. It's called The Festive Foreign Film Fans. I'm not sure when that episode's coming out, though. He's going to be talking about Christmas in the UK. He's got a couple of other guests on that he's talking to, but I'm one of the three. When that episode comes out, I will, of course, let you know. But in the meantime, check out his other episodes. It's always a great listen. He talks about foreign films that are about Christmas with his mate, Mark. So, yeah. Festive Foreign Film Fans, thank you so much, Bob. I wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas. But now let's do this. This is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz, this is the quiz. It's the quiz, boys and girls, the Christmas quiz. I've got last episode scores for you, and here they come. So, with 2 points, we have David Ferguson and also Mark Davis, but we'll be hearing more from him in a moment. With 3 points, this young lady scored 9 in the previous quiz. 9 out of 10. This time she scored 3, and that is Pamela Wootton. Pamela Wootton. Now, regular listeners will know that Pamela loves hearing me say her name, so I'm going to say it one more time for you, Pamela. Pamela Wootton. Also with 3 points, we have Jack Unverthurth. With 4 points, we have Barbara Wright, Kerry Goldsworthy, and Frank Talley. 5 points, we have Dawna Gerst, David W., John Gomez, and my dear friend Nettie Tabot. With 6 points, it's Mark Westcott, Mary Pulte, you heard her husband just a bit earlier telling us about Santa Claus, Kira G., Jennifer Kay, and Nicola McLean. With 7 points, we have Martin Goodman. Now, in the last episode, somebody referred to him as Mark Goodman because they'd written it down wrong. Now, we don't know who that person was, but if we find out who it was, they'll probably be sacked. Also with 7 points is Mike Westfall from the Advent Calendar House. I mentioned it last episode. I'm mentioning it now. It's December, which means Mike's podcast is now running. So go and check it out. I've been listening to it. It's very good. Also with 7 points, we have Mark Davis again. So I've got to read out the email I received from Mark Davis about his score. He's put, on my first attempt, I scored 2 points. I immediately re-listened to the episode, retook the quiz, and scored a banging 7 points. That's my highest score ever. I'm so proud of myself. And then he's put, my goal for the next quiz is to score a perfect 10, but I may have to retake it 3 or 4 times to do so. A cheery Merry Christmas to you. And that's from Mark, the Quiz Whiz, Davis. So thanks for that, Mark. Appreciate that. Well done for scoring 7 on your second attempt. Good work. With 8 points, which equals my score. A little bit annoyed about that, to be honest. I thought I was special. Turns out I'm not. We have Adam Parker from the Merry Britsmas podcast. I've got to plug his show. Go and listen to it. Very good. He talks about Christmas. That's what I do. He does it too. But he talks about Christmas in the UK. He's got extra episodes out in December and November. So listen to them. And also, Benji Pearson. So well done, you two. But here we go, boys and girls. This came in from Britt Keane. And he's put, I decided to listen to your show again. I thought there should be improvement. Sadly, no. It's still an audio train wreck. On a brighter note, I scored 17 on the last quiz. I can tell you that for nothing. Merry Christmas. So well done to Britt Keane for scoring 17 out of 10. That's incredible. It defies the laws of physics. Well done, young man. Right, let's get on with this episode's quiz. I'm going to read out the questions. And then when I read out the answers, I've got a guest on. Yeah, a guest that was on the previous episode. I'm not going to spoil the surprise. You'll have to wait to see who it is. Right, question number one. What is La Creche in France at Christmas? What is La Creche? Question number two. What is Father Christmas called in Germany? What's he called? Actually, someone emailed me about this. I can't remember who it was. And they didn't like the fact that I say called when you're referring to a person. And they should say named. Do you remember that? I was talking about it. And he was like, why didn't you say named instead of called? Well, let's try that question again, just to keep that person happy. Whose name? I can't remember who it was. I could go back and look. I can't be bothered. What is Father Christmas named in Germany? There you go. Does that make it easier? No. Right, question number three. In which European country would you encounter the Wren Boys as procession on Boxing Day? Now, you should know this because I talked about it on a previous episode. Yeah, the hunting of the wren. And a wren is a type of bird, but you probably knew that. Next one. What city in Germany is known as the gingerbread capital of the world? And I'll tell you who is not known to, and that's me, because I didn't know that one. I didn't know it at all. Next one. On what day does Sinterklaas visit in the Netherlands? Yeah, so Sinterklaas or St. Nicholas, if you want to, you know, say it in English. What day is that? When does he come? When? Tell me now. Tell me now. Next one. What is the name of Netflix's Norwegian seasonal rom-com series, which features main character Johan, is spelled J-O-H-A-N-N-E. It's like Joanne with an H chucked in there for good measure. It features main character Johan and her search for a boyfriend. Okay, next one. What kind of cake is traditional to eat in Japan at Christmas? Okay, now we all know, you should know, that in Japan they eat KFC for Christmas. And if you buy the big KFC bucket from them, you have to book it in advance. It comes with a cake. What kind of cake? Tell me. Next one. What type of food is Christopsamo? I probably pronounced that wrong, so let's try a few different pronunciations. One of them might be right. Christopsomo. Christo. Psomo. Christopsomo. Christopsomo. There you go. One of those has got to be close, isn't it? Oh, we're up to number nine now. In Switzerland, what does Santa's helper Schmutzli carry? He's Santa's helper. Maybe he carries a sack. Maybe not. Maybe I'm trying to lead you astray. Okay, last question. Cod is a traditional Christmas food in which European country? Cod. What are you eating that at Christmas? Huh? Tell me. Well, there you go. There's your 10 questions. Right, let's get on with the answers with my special guest.
Okay, boys and girls. Well, you heard her last episode talking about Christmas sandwiches. She's back again this episode embarrassing herself in the quiz. So, going to say hello, Jeannie Mulligan of Ireland.
Hi, guys. Hi, Jack.
Right, so, question number one. What is La Creche in France at Christmas?
I have no idea. I said the crib.
It is the crib. It is actually
no way.
Crib. Yeah, and I said nativity scene, and I will accept that because you've got the manger and it's the whole scene. So, yeah, but well done, Jeannie. Good work. I will also accept a nativity scene. Well done. Good work. Okay, next one.
Thank you so much.
What is Father Christmas called in Germany?
I really have no idea. I did German in school and I was useless at it. I said Vater Noel.
Yeah, I see what you're doing there. It's because it's a direct translation. No, it's not. And aww. I thought, well, they call him Santa Claus. That's where Santa Claus comes from, and it's German. But it's not. It's Sinterklaas was Dutch. And it's actually Der Weihnachtsmann.
The what?
Der Weihnachtsmann.
Der Weihnachtsmann.
Yeah, der okay. Is the. And yeah. Weihnachts. I've got someone corrected me on this. They sent me an email saying it's a versant. V. Weihnachtsmann. Man.
I wouldn't have got that.
Yeah, because it's the Christmas man.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. I think I'd heard him called that before. But for some reason I just went straight to Santa Claus. So I'm gutted about that as well. Okay. Now, I think you got this one. In which European country would you encounter the Wren Boys procession on Boxing Day?
Woo woo, Ireland.
Yeah, but when I covered this, it's also like in a couple of in Wales and the Isle of Man as well. And
it took, ooh, yeah.
I think we talked about it last year when you talked about Christmas in Ireland as well.
Yeah.
I think we did cover it. But well, yeah, but Ireland, yeah. It's Ireland in the book. And I've got a feeling the hunting of the Wren is not always on Boxing Day. But you don't call it Boxing Day, do you?
No, St. Stephen's Day all the way in Ireland.
Is it still a national holiday? You get the day off?
Yeah, everyone gets the day off, 26th of December, because you have your hangover. And then, but see, the 26th is the big night out in Ireland, I was telling you that.
Oh, you so were, then, yeah.
Yeah, that's the big night out in Ireland because nowhere is open on Christmas Day. So it would be great if we had another day off on the 27th, but we don't.
Okay, next one. What is the name of Netflix's Norwegian seasonal rom-com series which features the main character, Joanne or Johan, and her search for a boyfriend?
I had no idea.
No, do you know what? I've watched the first series with the wife and it's called Home for Christmas. I don't think we bothered with the second series. So there you go, Home for Christmas, yeah. It's quite good actually, it's quite funny. Yeah, it was dubbed though, I think. I don't think it was subtitles, I think it was dubbed. I can't remember now. Anyway.
Might give it a go.
Yeah, maybe have a look. Next one. What kind of cake is traditional to eat in Japan at Christmas?
Is it cheesecake?
Hang on, I've missed that bloody question. Eh? I've missed that two bloody questions.
I think you missed two, four,
yeah,
and five.
Didn't say anything.
Yeah, I didn't want to like ruin
it. It's not my job, is it? Oh, it's not my job to pay attention to what's coming out of my mouth. How did she not say anything? Oh, she's on the Baileys again, kids.
I'm very polite. I'm a very polite lady.
She's topped it up since the last episode, kids, when we're recording 10 minutes.
I know.
See how much is in there. Not much, though, kids. I'll tell you, it was at the brim a minute ago. Right, where are we? Okay, right, sorry, let's get back a bit then. Question number four. What city in Germany is known as the gingerbread capital of the world?
Again, this is a complete guess. I say Munich.
Yeah, and I would have said Bonn. But it was actually, yeah, well, just because I thought bonbons. I don't know. But the correct answer is Nuremberg, would you believe?
Aww.
No. Yeah, okay. And then I also missed out on what day does Sinterklaas visit in the Netherlands? What day?
No, this one because I lived in the Netherlands, the 5th of December.
Yeah, do you know what I put? Put the 6th, didn't I?
Oh, no.
Because I think St. Nicholas's Day is the 6th.
It is, I think.
Oh, doesn't it? Just like on Christmas Eve, the day before.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done. Okay, so then we got the Christmas cake, what they're eating in Japan. And you said cheesecake, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a sponge cake with cream on top. Yeah. I did talk about that briefly when I did Christmas in Japan, but that would have been like 5 years ago now.
I've been listening since the beginning, Jack, so, you know, should have got that.
You should have, actually. Let yourself
I
down.
Should.
Right,
I
what should. Type of food is Christop Somo?
Again, no idea. I said a vegetable.
What kind of vegetable then?
A Brussels sprout.
It's not, no. No, do you know what? I guessed bread and I was right. I got that one right on a guess. I'm happy with that, yeah. English, yeah, I know.
Congratulations, okay. Jack.
Yeah, damn right. Well, I need it. My score's not great this time around. Okay, no. In Switzerland, what does Santa's helper Schmutzli carry? What's he carrying?
I said a little puppy.
Oh, Jeannie, a dog is for life, not just for Christmas.
Yeah, it depends.
Are you familiar with that phrase? Is that a phrase that's made up? Oh, yeah, you are. Okay. Yeah. No, he's not carrying a little puppy.
Aww. No. Very cute, though.
Did you think because of the Schmutzli sounds a bit like
Schmutzli.
Is that what you're thinking?
Yes.
Unbelievable. No, it's a bunch of twigs. I would accept stick, but it's a bunch of twigs that he hits people with.
So that's very boring, isn't it? I think the puppy would be a lot cuter.
It would have been cuter, yeah, but he's the bad guy, I think. He's the one that punishes the kids. You don't let him strike the puppy. Maybe a vicious wolf hand that attacks them.
A Rothweiler.
Yeah, a Rottie, yeah, to have a go. No. Okay, right, last one. Cod is a traditional Christmas food in which European country?
Okay, another guess. I said Portugal.
Ah, okay. I said Norway. And I was wrong, and you were wrong, and he answers Croatia. So there you go, kids. Right.
Doesn't sound great. Who'd like cod at Christmas Day anyway? I didn't do very well.
Turkey, isn't it? Turkey all the way. Right, hang on. Right, we'll add up our scores then.
Okay. Not very difficult for me. Going to make something up there now, Jack. Are you shocked? Did you do so badly? You're like, I can't have scored that low.
I think I got 5. Hang on a second. 1, 2, 3, 4. I scored 5. What did you get, Jeannie?
I got 3. I'm very proud of that
score. Score, though, isn't it? 3's the score you normally get.
Well, to be fair, it is. Like, I'm not letting myself down.
Wasn't it like 4 weeks on the trot or 3 weeks on the trot when you emailed me? Yeah. It was 3 every time.
Yeah. No, I'm not letting myself down. I'm consistent.
Yeah, consistent, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. 5. That's pretty bad for me. I'll be interested to see how people get on with this one because they were tricky, weren't they?
They were pretty tough this week. So I don't feel too bad.
You did well. You got ones I didn't get, didn't you? Well, thanks for coming on and thanks for having a go. Nice to see you.
And thanks for having me.
And this is the last episode before Christmas, so you're going to wish everyone an Irish Merry Christmas again.
Yeah. So, Nulli Conna Diav, everybody.
Yes. Merry Christmas, everybody. And thank you, Jeannie.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jack.
I'll see you next year.
See you next year.
Boys and girls, this episode's recommendation is the same podcast that I always recommend in my last episode of the year. It is I'm Not Complaining with Robin and Juno. That's my two daughters. Robin is now 10. When the podcast started, she was only 5. Juno's 7. When the podcast started, she was only 2. If you listen to the old episodes, it's amazing to see how they've grown through the years. They've really grown up. Every week, or should be every week, it's not every week because, you know, they're only young, but nearly every week they record a 10-minute episode where there's jokes and there's other stuff, little segments. It's all a lot of fun. Two little girls with their own podcast. When Juno started it, I'm pretty sure she was the world's youngest podcaster. Now, I'd be surprised if she is, but it's only them two on the show. Occasionally, they'll have a guest on. They might have an interview or something. Not often, though. Normally, it is just the whole show. It's just these two little girls for 10 minutes chatting about what they've been up to and having fun, really. So if you want to have a listen to it, I know they'd appreciate new listeners. It's I'm Not Complaining with Robin and Juno. I will put a link in the show notes so you can just scroll down, tap on that, and it'll take you straight there. And you can have a listen to what the girls have been up to. I'm Not Complaining with Robin and Juno. And that is it for this episode. I've got to say a big thank you to everyone who's been on the show. Todd Pulte for telling us about how he found out about Santa Claus. Jeannie Mulligan for being part of the quiz. And of course, Frank and Shelley for once again giving us a guided tour of their massive Christmas village. Now, I keep forgetting to update my Facebook page, but I will with this episode. I'll post the episode and Shelley said she's going to attach some photos to that Facebook post. So have a look on Facebook at my latest post and you should get some pictures of the Christmas village and you can see just how magnificent it is. Also, because this is the last episode of the year, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who's been part of this show. The input that I get from the listeners is my favourite part, so thank you so much. I really hope every single one of you have a wonderful Christmas with your families. If you want to get in touch, the email address is totalchristmas@gmail.com. Now, normally I'd say I'll be back in 2 weeks' time, but not this time. No, I do take a break over Christmas and then I take January off. So I'll be back either at the very end of January or at the start of February. So make sure you subscribe so you'll get that episode when it comes out. I know a lot of you only listen to the podcast at Christmas, and that's fine, you know, if you don't want to listen to it all year round, by all means. But there might come a time in the year where you think, do you know what, I fancy a bit of Christmas. Why not dip into it? See how you feel. Don't have to. I'm here if you need me. Once again, thanks for listening. You know I love you. Merry, happy Christmas.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.